Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Photojournalist and digital archivist Richard Carlson joins us today for a preview of the upcoming Turtle Soup presentation at the Journey Museum in Rapid City. It's this Friday at noon Mountain Time, and you can join him to learn more about the Fassbender photographic collection and a few of the remarkable stories behind those photos. Richard Carlson joins us now on the phone. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, for folks who don't know about the Fassbender collection, tell us a little bit about, the overview of the extensiveness of it.
Well, Joseph and George Fassbender are a father and son, photographers that were in the Dakotas or in South Dakota starting in the early 1900s. I guess Joseph spent about 10 years in the Faith and Mobridge area before arriving in the Black Hills in the mid-1920s. Working forward from there, they operated a studio doing a lot of portraits and weddings, but also other events and, I guess, news items of the day occasionally up until about 1990. And the collection itself now is owned by the communities of Lead, Deadwood, and Spearfish, and is housed at the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center in Deadwood. So that's where I spend my days kind of cataloging the collection.
Tell us a little bit about that cataloging. What is that process like for you? It sounds like a fascinating job, but also a detail-oriented one.
Sure, it is. And as I mentioned earlier, with a lot of the collection being portraits and weddings, that can seem a little tedious over time, and probably 80 or 90% of the collection is that kind of photos. And the rest of it is probably the more interesting stuff that the general public might like to see. But the process really involves just kind of repackaging for the most part, taking negatives and sometimes prints out of old kind of musty, dusty envelopes and putting them into new acid-free envelopes that will help it stay preserved for the next 100 years or however long it's stored, which is forever, I hope.
Yeah.
So a lot of volunteers that do that work. I mean, it's a lot of detailed work. There's hundreds of thousands of images in the collection, and so it's very time-consuming. And eventually it ends up in a database, and so we can search and hopefully put our hands on those images in fairly short order when someone makes a request.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about some of the stories that might be presented at the Turtle Soup presentation here at the Journey coming up.
Sure. Well, I'll try to. It's a luncheon, so the time is limited. I will certainly try to give some, just some general images from the collection and go into detail on a couple of events. There's the Stratosphere Bowl balloon launches from the 1930s. I'll include a few images from that. The construction at Mount Rushmore in various stages, some overall general imagery from the Black Hills. I'll probably spend the most time on a couple of things in particular. I mean, maybe the Passion Play will get some extra time. A big event that could be said to have helped jumpstart tourism in 1939 when that started in Spearfish. I'll also kind of work on the story about George Sitz, who murdered a couple of law enforcement officers in Lawrence County back in the 1940s. So we'll kind of go into some detail about his story and eventual execution in 1947. Was the first person and only person to be executed by electric chair in South Dakota. And there wouldn't be another execution until 2007 in South Dakota. So we'll touch on that a bit. And another story that's a lot of fun is the George Hopkins story. A daredevil, I guess, that skydived onto the top of Devil's Tower in 1941 and ended up stranded there for 6 days. And so there's kind of a fun story associated with that.
Did he have a plan to get down when he landed there, or and that didn't come through, or did he not expect to be like, how does one strand oneself on top of Devil's Tower? Because it's pretty obvious that there's no stairs. Yeah.
Right. Well, there was a plan, and it's often said that there wasn't a plan, but it maybe wasn't well thought out. There was a plan to drop, some rope, and he would be able to lower himself to a certain place where he would be able to just climb the rest of the way down on his own. But that didn't work out because the rope got dropped after he landed on the tower and ended up tumbling over the edge. And they tried it again, and it landed fine, but it was so tangled up he couldn't use it. So therein kind of starts the journey of spending 6 days up there. And there's a few fun vignettes, I guess, of things that were going on the ground that leads to a couple of humorous moments. And, eventually he gets down, of course. And, this was a stunt that he was going to use to promote his attempt at breaking the record for the number of skydives in one day that he intended to do in Rapid City. So it was really just a publicity stunt that turned into kind of a nationwide news item at the time.
Not the kind of publicity that he was shooting for at that point.
Right.
Yeah. So tell me, when you're kind of going through some of these photos, you or the volunteers, you said maybe 90% or 80 to 90% are wedding photos and portraits, but there are these other sort of gems of events and things that happen that have this great historical significance. How do you sort of, do you know what they are, right? When you look at them, how well are they documented? Or do you just have an image that you have to go find the story of?
I think the stuff that's a little bit, the bigger stories, are labeled, and certainly, these are stories that there's a fair amount of information about already out there. So if you have, a name on an envelope, you can certainly search other people's databases or just, online and find some of those records and kind of put some things together there. I think other stuff is not quite so obvious. I mean, there's rodeos that you may not have a year attached to, and you may, probably don't know who's in the pictures in a lot of cases. And you just have to sort through those and decide, is there, kind of a significance that, you maybe sort of do a triage, I guess, on the images. And if you think that something you need to find out some more information, you try to do some research. And volunteers are typically almost better at that than I would be. Many of them are from the Black Hills and have lived here all their lives. And if they don't have an idea about a picture, they probably know someone who does. So we kind of rely on volunteers a lot. And obviously we can get help having things online too. We'll put a lot of images online that don't necessarily have any information attached to them. But if we get the word out and maybe someone from, across the country on another continent might send us an email, and this does happen from time to time, and say, hey, I recognize this picture, or I'm a person in that picture when I was 6 years old, and now they're in their 70s or 80s. Oh. So there's a lot of little different pieces kind of coming at each other there to help us put information together. But that's the biggest struggle on the ones where we don't have the information, is just trying to get that.
Do you feel a sense of urgency then because of the dates of some of these pictures, not only to preserve the images themselves, but to continue that dialogue and have that window open, because some of the people who might be in the picture or might have the knowledge are not going to be around for very long?
Absolutely. And I think every entity that has a collection of any kind faces that, and they know that. It's a matter of kind of finding a balance of, kind of plowing through and continuing the cataloging efforts with getting out there and making things available to the public and getting things online and asking for help. And, if you do find a person or two or three that may know something about a subject, they may or may not be someone who spends time online. So that would mean, enlisting someone's help to maybe go talk to them, or if they're fairly local, I can go talk to them myself and get some answers on some images. And I think you'll never feel like you've done enough in that situation for the very reasons you just stated.
Yeah. Do you find other things that are unexpected, as in, I'm thinking of a person might be in the foreground, but then there's something, behind them that is of historical significance that, how often, how deeply do you have to look at an image to help it reveal, or how deeply do the volunteers have to study an image to help it reveal all that it has to offer?
I think it varies certainly, and when you mention, I think in particular people, but sometimes places too. If there's a there's a certain building or set of buildings in a background that needs to be studied, you say, hey, if here's a certain business listed or a sign on a building, and you say, well, when did that building or when did that business exist? And that could be a journey on its own if you're trying to help date an image, if it doesn't already have that information. At the same time, I think people can be useful, and I think we'll probably try to get or make use of software that maybe helps us spot people that are in the same or in various images, like through facial recognition, for example. And we haven't really started that yet, but I know that that's something that obviously is getting better and better. And I think in the next month or two, we'll try to get some software that'll, I can load a few images into and start experimenting with. And that may occasionally, send us a surprise too and say, hey, this looks like the same person in the background of this image.
Yeah.
That is also appearing in these two or three other images, and you can go and look, and maybe it's wrong, or you'll maybe say, yeah, I think it is, and that maybe will help you put dates on things.
That's going to be fascinating, don't you think? Because, I mean, the time frame and the geography that you're dealing with is not, and it's not like New York City, population-wise, so you really could find some connections there that might surprise everybody.
Sure, I think so, I guess the opportunity to use those kinds of things, again, it's another segment of your mission, I guess, to try to accomplish various tasks. But it's probably not going to happen like you do, you see on TV or anything like that. But it'll come up with suggestions
right.
As far as these faces go, and you can kind of make the judgment call on your own. And I think. Being able to use tools like that not only is going to help, but if there's a little bit of a techno geek in the person doing the work, which I know that certainly exists in me and some of our volunteers, that will just kind of get a kick out of working with that stuff too. So,
And how is that? In just our remaining like 30 seconds, how much of the these kinds of presentations are you doing, and how much of these images being used as a resource even right now?
I would say I'm doing. The presentation tomorrow at the Journey, as you mentioned, I'm actually doing a similar one tonight. It just the timing happened to work out. I'm doing one tonight at the Sanford Homestake Visitor Center in Lead, a series they call Deep Talks. And so I'm going to be able to show a bunch of pictures there in Lead that shows what Lead looked like in that very location decades ago, and that'll be kind of fascinating. And I'm going to do another presentation next week. So it seems like it kind of comes in fits and starts, we'll say, I guess. I mean, I'm doing three in the next week, and I may not do any more for the next several months. On the other side there, it's probably the same thing with requests. You'll get sometimes you'll get a request for, a graduation photo, and we'll see if we've cataloged it yet. And then the rest of the time, there may be somebody working on a calendar or a book or just wants a picture to hang in their business. And we'll, those are just a few a month, I'd say, as the average throughout a year.
Richard Carlson, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right. You're welcome.